I'm going to first read from a new sequence I've written called No More Hiding Places, and I'm sorry to subject you to something so serious, but I promise I'll lead up to a happy ending. This is about a very difficult period of my life over 20 years ago, and it was when, at age 27, I found myself a widow raising a young child. The first poem here is about the birth of my first daughter. 1. 2 months in bed, watching soap operas and bleeding and wondering if the baby was alive, watching quiz shows, becoming a master of trivia, stepping out to the roof to see the fall leaves and then the snow, playing Scrabble and Chinese checkers. Then in the 8th month, waking up, thinking my water had broken, I shouted, my husband turned on the light, it was blood, blood and pieces of matter, flesh dropping out of me. I thought she would fly out of me and I wouldn't be able to catch her in time to save her. In the hospital, we waited and waited for the doctor. I was awake, my spine numbed, hearing the doctors argue, did you know? You should have acted faster. The baby was lying in a pool of blood. I heard a cry and she was here, tiny, without eyelashes, whisked into an isolette, but she was here. I was afraid, unprepared for something, for someone so significant, immersed too long in trivia, not knowing how to hold her or talk to her or convince her to nurse, wondering how to keep her from breaking. A nurse told me, we thought you and the baby were going to die. I hold her tightly and carefully while watching Jeopardy, speaking aloud, solving all those senseless and beautiful puzzles. I'll read a poem about my daughter and I after the funeral and everything. She would tell lies in doctor's office when I left her in the waiting room. Stories about her red-headed baby brother, or about her 6 brothers and sisters. People would ask me, when I came to get her, how did you manage with so many children? Then she and I would go home alone, heat up canned spaghetti, watch TV, and I'd read her story after story, rock her, rub her back before she'd go to sleep. I would listen to records and drink wine until I was groggy or drunk enough to pass out. Both she and I would wake up in the night several times, walk from bedroom to bathroom to kitchen, walk around and around, peeking in each other's bedrooms. This is number 7 of the sequence. When people looked at me, I knew or guessed I had become a monster. Hair and fangs and wild eyes all inside me, but visible to those who feared me. I was dangerous. Men called at night when the child was sleeping, wanting to come over. I hear widows are hungry, one said. But no man wanted to be seen with me in public. Women kept me away from their husbands. I was a vampire, sharp teeth wanting to suck men dry, wanting to devour flesh, drink blood, fill up my empty places. Number 8, my family was of Greek background and there was a long mourning period, particularly for widows. The Greeks mourn for 40 days and widows mourn forever. I took my grandmother to her sister's anniversary celebration. Widows in black sat silently in rows, watching the dancers, trying not to tap their feet to the music. It was the 40th day, my body moved by itself, could no longer stay frozen, I danced. They talked about me for weeks, those women in black. It was a scandal. Widows do not dance, even if they are only 27 years old. And the last poem of the sequence, number 9. I met him on Mykonos, and he said he would never eat again unless I said I loved him. He ordered food and looked at it, mouth shut tight. We chased each other through the labyrinthine streets, playing hide and seek. All the landmarks looked the same. I was always lost. 20 years after his death, I return, and he is still here. I stay in the same hotel. I see on the street one of his friends. I hear his voice in the waves, sense his hand stretched out. I will never eat again unless you come with me. The hordes of tourists here for the nude sunbathing, the discos, the shops, the freedom, never guess what is around the next corner. on that street which looks like all the others, under the next wave rushing up to wet our feet as we sit at the cafe, merging with the sky. He is trying to pull me through air and sea to his country of non-existence. I will not go. I want to feel the sea against my body, feel my body move in space. I am not ready to melt into that other place. I dance by myself at the salami bar. I dance all night. I eat, I drink, myself, my body. I also have a sequence of short prose poems called Phone Calls from My Mother. I don't know if any of you get, yeah, you know, you all know this. You've had this experience, yeah. I used to get really depressed and walk around and say, why? And then, oh yeah, I just had a phone call. Yeah. So I decided that I should keep a record for a while, and the first one's called Grave Arrangements. My mother is worrying about graves. We should all be together, she says, in the same cemetery. It is easier to visit everybody that way. She wants my sister's ashes to be in the family plot. She's been trying to convince my sister's husband to send the ashes, which he is keeping in a dresser drawer. Joan should be buried next to her father, she says. My sister's husband is marrying again. Perhaps my mother fears that his new wife will sweep out the ashes and send them out with the garbage. She reminds me that I already have a plot in the cemetery next to my first husband. My second husband won't mind if I'm buried there, she tells me. He'll marry again after I'm gone. I feel uncomfortable listening to her voice on the telephone. Then I laugh. I'm going to write down all you just said. As soon as I hang up, I tell her, it will make a good story or poem. This one is called Bodies, and I know some of you have had this experience, you know, or a similar one. My mother phones me a week after my sister's funeral. I noticed you at the funeral, she says. You're getting fat. You better work on it. Trim your thighs, do something about yourself. You looked fat, fat at the funeral. She has lost one daughter, now she's looking at the other one's body. I wonder if she thinks the wrong one died. One daughter is too thin, disappearing dead, the other growing more corpulent. My mother wants some balance. And this is White Slavery, and it's about my daughter Elaney, who's sitting over there, so she'll appreciate this. This is for her. My mother is worried because my daughter Elaney is going to Europe. She better watch out for the white slavers, she says. They are snatching up all the teenage girls in town. It's worse in Europe. There are perverts there. And homosexuals, everyone has AIDS. Tell her never to sit on toilet seats or kiss anyone, she'll get AIDS. And everywhere there are men who want to lure her into white slavery. Elaney sends us a postcard from Amsterdam with pictures of women in red underwear and black garter belts displaying themselves in windows. I have a new profession, she writes. I'm making lots of money, I'm not coming back. And this is called Happy Endings. Do you remember, my mother asks, the family that owned the house you almost bought? The house you would have owned free if you had bought it, because there was a life insurance clause on it, and after Stelios died you would have had it. Too bad you didn't. Those people, they had a daughter, and her husband left her for another woman, and then she had a brain disease and almost died, an awful disease. Everything exploded in her head, and they thought she'd never talk or move again. Now she's getting married to that man. You know who I mean, the one whose wife killed herself? Isn't it wonderful? And I'm going to end with a poem about the summer solstice. I wrote this for a woman whose birthday is on the summer solstice, and I thought that was quite wonderful. So it's about growing old as well. Summer solstice, 1992, Nancy's 40th. When you were born, burning wheels rolled down the mountain like the sun rolling down to dark. It was a long, bright day with little darkness. Earth turned to signal coming dark, plunge us to winter, but not yet. On that magical night, midsummer fairies brought you to sun-lined woods. Sun and shadow danced around each other. You did not know then that the days would grow shorter. Winter brought white snow, stars lightened the night. Night comes fast now, chasing the sun down and down. Soon you will know you were right all along. Sun climbs again, days grow longer and brighter. It is the earth which circles, it is ourselves which circle around and around. Thank you.